This is Colorado Matters from CPR News. Colorado's 14ers are the stuff of legend. Peak baggers come out in force during the summer to scale these 14,000-foot mountains, and social media is full of photos of hikers at the summits holding handwritten signs with the name of the mountain and the elevation. But there are some less well-known mountains in Colorado, some just as difficult as their higher-altitude neighbors. Husband and wife team Jerry and Jennifer Roach of Montrose climbed the tallest ones and wrote the guidebook Colorado's 13ers, From Hikes to Climbs. Hi, Jerry and Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi.
Good to be here.
Jennifer, you've climbed more than 1,000 peaks in Colorado. Jerry, you've climbed Mount Everest. You guys are serious climbers. Jerry, what is the appeal of a 13er to an experienced mountaineer?
I just learned that 3/4 of the land in the United States that is above 10,000 feet is in Colorado. More and more people are finishing all the 14ers, 50-some, depending on exactly how you want to count, and that they're looking around for what else to do. Well, the highest 13ers is the next obvious choice. We call the centennial 13ers, or the 50-plus 13ers that added to the 14ers, make up the 100 highest peaks in Colorado, which is another nice goal. It's a round number. It's attainable by mortals. And it includes a lot of very interesting peaks.
Jennifer, obviously dividing mountains by 13ers and 14ers, that's an idea that people have constructed. These mountains exist in the same ranges. But is hiking a 13er different in some way than hiking a 14er?
Well, I've always liked to be in a place where there weren't as many people. And although I do love the 14ers, I started out by climbing all the 14ers. I wasn't even thinking about doing anything lower than the 13ers. I really wanted to be somewhere where there weren't a lot of other people. And so I think I was attracted to just being out there and doing these in groups. I wasn't really looking at higher 13ers, lower 13ers. It's just whatever was accessible and whatever I could do in my skill level.
And what about the trails? Are 13ers as built up as 14ers?
I mean, some of them are. I think it depends on how close it is to a 14er would be one way to look at it. And I think one of the things I liked about doing the 13ers is you really had to work on the map and you really had to ask around. You know, we didn't have internet then. I mean, how you got info was making a phone call to someone that you know has climbed this.
And this is when you started hiking.
You're right. That's right. So it was all just a paper map and a compass.
And you've written this guidebook, so tell me a little bit more about how you find these routes that you're describing for other people to follow.
Yes. In the old days, the good old days, I started climbing in the 50s, when you had to figure out the peak more or less by yourself. You had a map and a compass.
And not necessarily a trail to follow.
And maybe a trail, maybe not. And you'd go there and you'd figure it out. And more often than not, you'd reach the summit. Sometimes, oops, you made a mistake and you ended up on the wrong peak. There's famous stories that end on the wrong summit. And you figure it out.
So this book is a collection of a lot of years of hiking experience in Colorado.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And Jerry, were there any nasty climbs when you're trying to knock out these highest 13,000-foot mountains?
Sure. The Centennial 13ers, on an average, are harder than the 14ers. The hardest 14ers have some class 4 climbing. It's easy climbing, but it's climbing, not hiking. Several of the Centennial 13ers have class 5 climbing, which typically people use ropes on. So they are, on an average, harder. And they have, on an average, I would say, less trails to them. So they're tougher outings, which is good. I like that. The hardest Centennial 13ers are Dallas, Tea Kettle, and Jagged. I've proclaimed Jagged the best peak bag in Colorado. It's not near a 14er. Jagged is way deep in the San Juans. Dallas and Tea Kettle are more accessible. They're above Telluride, and they're a bit nasty. Dallas is known for loose rock. Tea Kettle is very impressive to look at. it's only really hard right at the tippy top. So it varies, and it's the variation that makes mountaineering interesting because no climbs are the same. Even if it's the same route, two different visits can be totally different experiences.
And Jennifer, you guys live in Montrose. Tell me about some of your favorite hikes outside of the Front Range.
Well, I really love the San Juans, and that's where a lot of the – when Jerry used the word remote, I was instantly thinking about some of the things that I've done in the San Juans 20 years ago, 10 years ago, even just a year ago. These peaks are not easily accessible, and this year is going to be a prime example of that because of the snow, the creek crossings. So we have some beautiful peaks that we can see right from the end of our street that we live on. And if we go a little further, you know, we can get into some of these lower peaks that maybe aren't visible from the street, but we know where they are. The Cimarron Range comes to mind. I really love it in there.
What do you enjoy so much about it?
Not a lot of people. You have to really work hard to get to your chosen peak summit. I mean, you have to read a lot of information on it, if there is any, online. You have to really study the maps, get some GPS coordinates, and use those. And it kind of turns the whole thing into a project. And that's – I really have started enjoying doing that, that the more difficult and the more complicated, the more I like it.
And I hear a theme from both of you. You both enjoy hikes where there aren't a lot of people. Do you worry that writing a guidebook is going to bring more people to your mountains?
Oh, no.
Famous question. Yes. It's a good question. Crowding, especially on the standard routes on the 14ers, it's exploded. Now, I would back up several steps and say that it's a good thing that we have hundreds of people trying to climb our 14ers. The mountains need a loving user group. There are other interests that if the hikers and climbers simply disappeared, the other interests might take over: mining, logging, private property, mansions. So I like the fact that we have a loving user group and would encourage people to join the group, given the environmental problems we have today, which are increasing. It's an increasing need to bond with nature. It's not good enough just to look at a picture once in a while.
And I do wonder how you balance those environmental concerns. I noticed that in some of the hikes you include some tips for users. There's one where you ask people to pee in the rocks and not in the tundra because otherwise some gregarious goats might dig up the tundra.
Right.
How do you balance environmental concerns and encouraging people to go use these wild places?
Well, I would hope that everybody who is going out there is using their sensibilities and you know, peeing in the rocks or...
That's because there's salt and the goats
want to dig it up. Or, you know, not littering or... I kind of have a faith that people will do the right thing because they love it so much and it's so beautiful that they want to leave it as they found it, unspoiled.
You guys have climbed so many mountains in general, but also for this book, I wonder if there's any specific story from climbing these 13ers that sticks with you.
Well, let's see. Jerry and I proposed to one another on the summit of a peak in the San Juans.
Which peak?
We called it Proposal Peak. What else?
Aptly named. It is an unnamed 13er, but we've sort of given it the moniker Proposal Peak.
And why that one?
Because we hadn't climbed it before.
We were working up to it.
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That's Jerry and Jennifer Roach. They live in Montrose. The second edition of their hiking book, Colorado's 13ers, is out now.